Let's talk about the crime itself. It's discovered by the little boy's best buddy next door.
Who was supposed to sleep over that night. Can you imagine being the mother of that child?
No one's ever been happier, I'm sure, to get tickets to a last-minute hockey game ever, because that's what kept them away, right?
Absolutely.
And he looks in the basement window and sees what?
The most horrible thing you can imagine. Bodies covered in blood.
He sees the two adults. He sees the... It's a split-level house. So he looks in the... Goes to the door, no answer. He looks in the basement window and he sees what he said. He said, "Mommy, there's bodies with blood on them. You know, come quick." So he would have seen the mom and the dad. The little boy, her runaway devil's eight-year-old brother, was upstairs in his bedroom dead. So he mercifully did not see the body of his little friend. But... And that little boy, the boy who discovered the bodies, was traumatized, obviously, and went through a lot of... his mother said, you know, he still has difficulties.
The night of the crime, take me through it.
Where do we begin?
Well, we begin, I think, Jeremy... She was grounded. She could not go out. Jeremy is over at his trailer with all these kids, and they're drinking and that sort of thing. And he had been asking. She had been coaxing him to carry out these murders so they could be free. And he had actually asked two of his friends to assist him, and they said, "No, we don't want anything to do with it." The night of the murders, they're in this trailer. He's drinking. He had bought some pot. They had some booze. They went through his beer. They went into the fridge and raided his mom's supply. She was out, you know, away. She was on a bender. She was, you know, by her own admission, not a good mother. She loved her son, you know. We play or portray her somewhat sympathetically. But anyway, he gets all wired up. And then they're going to his room and they watch the movie Natural Born Killers. And he gets all excited about it. And there's a scene in Natural Born Killers where they kill the abusive mom and dad. And then the little brother is left alive. And he said to the people in the room, he said, "That's where it's going to be different. JR is going to kill her little brother." And people kind of like, They didn't challenge him. They didn't think. So anyway, they're sitting around. He gets a phone call from her. And somebody overheard him say, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And he hangs up the phone and he goes. It's about 3:30 in the morning. He goes over to a friend's house. He had been turned down by two of his friends to help him with the murders. He had told them, "I can't do this myself." So what does he do? He goes to get more liquid courage, and he goes to a friend who he knows has cocaine. And so he goes up to his place. He ends up doing cocaine, ecstasy, wine, beer. He's just totally wired. Goes, whatever she said to him on that phone call set him off, and he goes over to, it's interesting, he goes over to a convenient all-night convenience store, buys some gum, because JR does not like the smell of smoke on his breath, so he has the gum, goes over to her house, pitches a pine cone at her window. She comes, motions him for him to go to the back door. He comes, goes in, the basement window was open or broken, and her mother hears a noise, and she goes downstairs, and she would have been confronted with an absolutely horrifying figure. He had a black hoodie on. He had a black neoprene mask over his face. He had his eyes, he wore dark eyeliner around his eyes. He had a kerchief, he had fishnet stockings, and he had a knife. And she screamed, and that's when the mayhem started.
It stabs her first?
He stabs her first. The father hears her screams. He comes flying down the stairs, and then there is a ferocious battle between him and Steinke. The father was stabbed 24 times. The mother was stabbed 12 times. And then he goes upstairs, and while he had been stabbing the parents, she was, by her own admission, holding her little brother by the neck, squeezing his neck. She claims, "I wanted to put him to sleep. I just wanted him, because it was so horrible, I didn't want him to hear this." And the evidence is that he had, these hemorrhaging in his eyes that indicates strangulation. And it's not clear exactly who killed the little boy. And that's one of the disturbing things about it. Steinke admitted to killing the mom and dad. neither one of them took responsibility for killing the little boy. The evidence is strong that she took part in her brother's death in some fashion. As to whether or not she actually carried it out or he helped her, we don't know. He was adamant and consistent all the way through, even when he was talking casually to prisoners, that he did not harm the little boy. Now, was he trying to save his own skin because he doesn't want to be a child killer? I don't know if he was that smart. But it really didn't matter because she was still guilty, because if you assist or aid or abet or encourage somebody to commit murder in any way, and if you assist them, you are equally as guilty under the law. She will be 16 this fall. She will be out of custody at 18 and a half. Then she has 4 years of community supervision, probably, I don't know, group home. I don't know what the setting would be, to be determined. And then there's a five-year period after that where if she commits no crime, her youth record disappears. It's expunged. So at age 27 and a half, if she keeps her nose clean, she'll no longer be a murderer.
And then she can be living next door to anybody.
No, babysitting exactly. Your kids, teaching them.
Running a daycare, being a caregiver, and we won't know.
The book is Runaway Devil, How Forbidden Love Drove a 12-Year-Old to Murder Her Family. I've been speaking with the authors Robert Remington and Sherry Zikafoos, and Runaway Devil, published by McCullen Stewart.